If you will look on the back of your scripture sheet, several years ago, I put together a chart on each of the seven deadly sins, and this is part of my chart on the deadly sin of sloth. You'll look about six stages up from the bottom. For the theme song of sloth, I chose Otis Redding's Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. The TV character for sloth is either Gilligan of Gilligan's Island or Homer Simpson. You can look at this later. Two passages. The first, the letter of John to the church at Laodicea, which had grown slack in its ardor for God, and then a parable of Jesus. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the word of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not knowing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore I counsel you to buy gold from me, refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. And then these words, those whom I love I reprove and chasten, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. He who conquers I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I myself have conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then a parable of Jesus from Luke. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, so that they may open to him at once he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that the householder had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. During the late 1960s, at the height of the Cultural Revolution, a couple was traveling around California. One day they noticed a bearded, pleasant-looking young man sitting beside the bridge near their hotel. Curiosity eventually overcame them, so they went and asked him why he sat in the same spot all day, every day. "I happen to believe in reincarnation," he replied. "I've lived many lives before and will have many lives after this one. I've just decided to sit this one out." Takes a minute, doesn't it? Sitting life out. That is the deadly sin of sloth. And it's not only a threat for those who believe in the false idea of reincarnation. I see in myself and find in others many Christians who seem to live without a focus. They've never come to terms with the scripture from Hebrew 9 that says, "And just as it is appointed for man once to die, and after that comes judgment." You don't have many lives to live. You have one life to live. From your conception to your natural death, it has a trajectory. It has an intensity. You do not get a do-over, and every moment matters. In the Roman Catholic listing of the seven deadly sins, sloth is fourth. Pride, envy, anger, and sloth. The Middle English word is sloth. S-L-O-W-T-H-E, from we get the word slow. Now, sloth is a life in slow motion. It is a life with all the zest sucked out of it because it is missing all the good things of God. The first thing of which is God Himself, and then the gift of other people. Did not Jesus say, first, love the Lord your God, with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then what? Out of the overflow, your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I find someone that I sit down with and I listen to them, I do a pastoral diagnosis, and sometimes I use the seven deadly sins. And if I find someone caught in the slow downward spiral of sloth, which is a kind of spiritual hypothermia headed down to where there is no love at all, I poke around their life and I say, is there anything that you love? Is there anything that intrinsically motivates you to engagement and movement and service? And I don't care what it is, as long as it's not evil. As long as they can love something, there's a possibility of us expanding that love and stirring their zeal. Now, for the monks of the 4th and 5th century who first devised the seven deadly sins, the Greek word for sloth is acedia, and it means literally no care or apathy. And Evagrius of Pontus said that the demon of apathy, the demon of acedia, the demon of sloth strikes the monk between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And that's when the desert sun in Egypt over the wilderness is at its height. And they live in caves or huts, and the sun bakes down upon their brow. And they grow weak and listless, and they do not care. Someone has written, a Christian never falls asleep in the fire in deep waters, but she is likely to grow drowsy in the sunshine. Sloth cools down our love for God and cuts off our love for other people. Sloth is like feeling tired and falling asleep in a snowdrift. There may be no pain, but you will freeze to death. Middle-aged man once went to his doctor complaining of many ailments, and he told the doctor, I want you to tell me exactly what's wrong with me. And after a full exam and all the blood work, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with you except that you are lazy. Okay, doc, but can you give me a medical term for it so I can tell my wife? Honey, the doctor says, I have an advanced case of ancient acedia. Did he write you a prescription? No. There's no medicine as yet. He did say, though, that lots of rest and good food and a clean house would be very helpful. Sloth is clever. It always shifts the burden for initiative to other people. Sloth is the sin of the spectator. Have you noticed how many people watch baseball but never play baseball? Have you watched many people go to football games but never play football? How many go to concerts but never play a musical instrument? Who love to watch movies of great love stories but refuse to love the woman down the couch from them? Sloth is the sin of the spectator. And if love is the glue that binds us to God, then sloth loosens that glue until we drift apart from God. Sloth is everywhere. People who are slothful are allergic to ecstasy. Their song is the B.B. King blues song. The thrill is gone. Now, the deceptive thing about sloth is it is not a sin of commission. If you commit immorality and lust, you know it. You've done something. If you eat three times as much as you need, you've committed gluttony. You know. But you can commit sloth and never know it because it's a sin of omission. It's something you should do, but you don't do. You don't stir up your zeal for God. And it drifts and it dies and it gets cool. And pretty soon you have become spiritually inert. You become an observer in your own life instead of a participant. The great issues of life pass you by and they don't move you. You can look at injustice and not be stirred by anger. You can look at a beautiful sunset and it leaves you bored. That is the deadly sin of sloth. If you have an unused YMCA membership and an overused easy chair, you may have sloth. If you read the funnies in the sports section and not the editorials, you may have sloth. It can creep into us in a thousand ways to leech the life out of us. Martin Niemöller was a famous German pastor in World War II, and at the end of the war, he diagnosed sloth in himself with these words. In Germany, the Nazis came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I was not a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I was not a Jew. They came for the trade unions, and I did not speak up because I was not a trade unionist. They came for the Catholics, and I was a Protestant, and I did not speak up. Then they came for me, but by that time, there was no one left to speak up for anyone. To be a spectator in a time of moral crisis is the rotten fruit of sloth, not wanting to be bothered. It dissipates dry rot in the soul. The slothful are always defending their inertia. They talk about how busy they are. I know some nice church folk that don't seem to have even enough energy for any great commission of any sin. They are neither hot nor cold. They're just what? They're lukewarm. Now, do not confuse sloth with leisure. Do not confuse sloth with rest. These are good things that build us up or create. Sloth is something ugly. It's leisure gone to seed. It's every day as a Sabbath. It's lost the rhythm between work and Sabbath. Sloth can be mental. If everyone does your reading for you, you have sloth. If you watch TV religion but never read your Bible, you have sloth. Mental sloth. If you thrive on secondhand opinions, if your conversation is full of cliches, if you never read a book to the end, then you have mental sloth. There's also moral sloth, and that's when you can walk past injustice and not have a problem of conscience. There's physical sloth, in which you refuse to keep up your body and you refuse to keep moving. And there's spiritual sloth, which is a loss of an appetite for God. Now, when I find my appetite for God waning, when I become distracted and anxious and distracted by... I do something really strange. I'll sometimes come stand right here about 5:30 on Sunday mornings when this place is black dark. And I'll lift up my hands and I'll holler. Holler! Come, Holy Spirit! Come, Holy Spirit, kindle a flame of sacred love on the cold heart of Pastor Phil. Do you know how many young men in our country are caught up in sloth? They're taken till age 30 to grow up. They're coasting on their parents. Their attitude is whatever. Do you know we have a plague of sloth among late adolescents and young adults? We also have a parallel plague of sloth among some retirees who do not retire to something so much as from something. And now they say, I get to do whatever I want. Now, folks, I'm not against time with grandkids. I'm not against trips. I'm not against hobbies. I'm not against you having a different life. I'm against people retiring from the demands of Christian discipleship before they die. Why not let your retirement years be a time to study the Bible, to go to seminary, become a local missionary, master a local social issue, gear up for God, run across the finish line of your own life? Well, Pastor, I can't come to Bible study. I got to watch Dancing with the Stars at 7. Whole churches can get this thing. The church of Laodicea was full of sloth. Now, folks, this church has a heart to serve. But like much of America, we also have an addiction to convenience. And convenience, only when it suits me, is an early form of sloth. Jesus knocked on the door. Let me in. I want back in your life. I want back in my church. Be zealous, he said, and repent. We all have the seven deadly sins. They rage in our lives according to where we are on the developmental scale and according to where we are vulnerable. There is also a form of sloth in which I am highly practiced, and that is the busyness that refuses to set priorities in concert with God. If you love God and you love your neighbor and you're to be about what God has called you to do so that you can say no to what God has not called you to do, then you will be able to resist the deadly sin of sloth. The loss of love being captured in the inertia of your own spinning habits. So when you hear Jesus knock, I want you to get off your easy chair. I want you to run to the door. I want you to unlock it from the inside and say, Lord, welcome back into my heart. Welcome back into my church. Stir me. Stir my heart, O Lord, with holy zeal that I may not become a victim to the creeping, frigid loss of the deadly sin of sloth. Take just a moment with this question. Has sloth deadened my heart and mind to the joy and purposes of the Lord? Before the service today, as I was practicing with Josh, we looked at this hymn. I said, Josh, this is a frightening hymn. He said, what do you mean? And I asked him to read the last stanza aloud. It's written by our own Charles Wesley. And it's against the deadly sin of sloth. Follow along with me. Help me to watch and pray and on thyself rely. Assured if I my trust betray, I shall forever die. I invite you to stand and sing this Charles Wesley hymn with great zeal. Raise your voices loud that God may begin to rescue you and me from the deadly sin of sloth. Please stand.